Then there's Shane's, like the thing he has on like quick save, where it's just Christian Watson stats. He just keeps spamming that in the Discord. He's like, hey man, just so you know, this is who you're hyping.
And I respect it, because you have to, anytime you talk about Christian Watson, you need that context. I need to be reminded of that so I don't get too excited. Because like, that ceiling is outstanding. The problem is like, his hamstring explodes after three games, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, the only person I've ever heard of going to the doctor for two different size hamstrings. And everybody's like, well, what do you, I think he'll be fine. It's like, dude, he's medically not fine.
Yeah.
Very not fine.
He's
is it still that way? Didn't they like get them like equal?
I don't know. He only played like what?
How would you do 10, that?
10 games last
year? It's not like a rubber band that you, is it?
Actually, they do it like when they take fat from your ass and put it in your face. They just take hamstring from one and put it in the other.
That makes sense. That's
Christian Watson got Botox in his hamstring.
Yeah, he got Botox.
Yeah,
hammy Botox.
No, he wakes up from the surgery in the hospital with Jordan Love in a wheelchair, and he's like, "Where do you think you got that hamstring?"
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first episode of the 50 Do's and 1,000 Don'ts of Playing Auction Fantasy Football, a football absurdity X TH Fantasy X Mock Drafts on Tap podcast spectacular presentation. With me, Jeff Crisco, is Evan Hoovler, Waleed Ismail, and Tony Martin. Tony, how are you?
Oh, I'm great, my friend. This is like the fantasy football version of the Ben Franklin HBO miniseries starring Paul Giamatti as Ben Franklin. And I'm an
Giamatti.
Idiot. We're all Giamatti.
Okay. I feel Giamatti.
I feel like Aaron Burr as the outsider, because I don't play auction. So like, you guys are here to teach me, so I'm really excited.
Also, you're gonna shoot the never mind.
I'm worried that I'm Alexander Hamilton in this story. No, I know where you were going. Like, that's what I'm like. Because I feel like if Tony was going to shoot anyone in this room, it would be me.
Shut up and teach me, auction boy.
Yeah, all right. Well,
I want to point out to the title of, I'm assuming great. The title of the 50 Do's and 1,000 Don'ts of Auction is such a great title for this series, because there are so many people out there who just don't understand how to do
fantasy. I would disagree with that. I would call
it. Hold on, you weren't introduced. Evan, how are you?
Five do's and 5,000 don'ts.
Five do's and 5,000 don'ts. All right, so Evan, what is don't number 3,842?
Don't assume that the way the market is moving, the way the bids are going, or how it's going to go throughout.
Ooh,
that's not how the six of economy works.
Can you pull all 5,000 off the top of your head?
actually, Evan, that one is don't draft Hunter Henry. Sorry. Hunter Henry. So, all right. That was Evan Hoovler. So what we're going to do, this is like an X number of episodes. We haven't decided, somewhere between 8 and 10, some bite-sized chunks of fantasy advice that basically the plan is to get you from being somebody who knows fantasy football, knows ball to varying levels, to somebody who's going to be not only capable of doing an auction draft versus a snake, but also excited to do it and equipped to do it. So this first episode is going to be the introduction to auctions, or auctions 101. And let's start with, we'll start with Evan.
Can I just do one little aside real quick?
Let's start with Will.
He's already talking over me.
No. I just want to say one thing. There is a very good reason that we are making this podcast, because there is so much bad advice out there. There are so many people who don't like do auction. I make a point of doing multiple auction money leagues on Yahoo a year, because they're profitable, because people are so bad at it. So I just wanted to say that. Like, if you're into auction, this is going to help you like dominate your needs.
That's right. If you listen, guaranteed to make money, or Waleed will refund your league fees.
Let's not get out.
The learning curve seems high, which is why people shy away, but it's really not. It's just learn a few things and you can crush.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, and this is, I'm going to throw everybody who does this under the bus. It's really hard to create content around auctions. So I think it hasn't taken off because it's so much easier to just load up 12 people in a mock draft and do that. And that's what a lot of people do. Yeah. Evan will lead you guys do yeoman's work with mock drafts on tap every Saturday on YouTube.
Sundays at 2 p.m. CST.
There you go.
And
all right.
And what we do is we go through different types of auctions. You can watch us go through one.
All right. So first question is why would you prefer auction a snake? Why is it better than traditional snake drafting?
You gotta throw it to one of us.
Throwing it, well, it doesn't matter. If I throw it to you, Evan, Waleed's going to start talking. So I'll throw it to Waleed.
I'm waiting for Evan to start talking so I can just start.
All right. Waleed, why would you prefer auction to snake?
What I was thinking was...
I'll make it very simple. If you are into fantasy football, if you're spending hours and hours of research trying to figure out who your guys are, I don't want to sit in a snake draft and hope this guy I have projected somehow falls to me because I happen to get a slot in the draft that doesn't help me. You know what I do with auction? I get my fucking guy. What, am I allowed to swear?
Sure.
Or like, okay, I just want to make sure. I want my guy. I'm going to get him. Auction is about conviction. Like, if you really believe in a player, you go get him. And you win or lose with that. There's no, like, just looking at a consensus board. It's making decisions. Getting the best values.
Evan, how do you feel about Waleed saying that if you do snake drafts, you're a coward?
It's fun. If you want to just get a list and pick the top guy on the list and not think, that you do you. A lot of people want to not think. That's fine. But if you want that dopamine hit, you know how before you were just watching football and then you discovered fantasy football? And all of a sudden, every game is interesting if you have a guy and your guy catches a pass for 10 yards and you're like, dang, I got that dopamine hit. With auctions, you get that dopamine hit nonstop for 2 consecutive hours because every guy could be that guy, like Wally said.
Yeah, I like
to be honest.
I like to describe it to people as the difference between snake and auction is with auction, you get the guys you want. With snake, you get the guys that the league left you. Because you go through 12-ish picks before your next pick, depending on the size of your league. You're just sitting around hoping that your guy is there for you if nobody else in the league wants him. So that's kind of how I describe it to people. You get the guys that you want rather than waiting around for other people.
And there is a very important aspect that we're all forgetting. And that is how fun it is to shit talk people during your drafts. Whether it's snake, we're all doing it in our friend groups. In an auction draft, like, the smack talk is at a different level. Because you are actively fighting against everyone. It is a 12-man, no-holds-barred, like, game of fantasy football. Winner take all. You all have a limited budget. You go in and you get your guys. And you have to be better than everyone around.
If you are in snake draft, you pick and then you just wait and hope.
Or
it is a fight that you get to watch. Even if you don't want a guy in auction, somebody says 57, you go, oh, somebody says 58, you go, oh, somebody says 61, you're like, what? Every single player.
So I like to approach a draft like, I'm not locked in this draft room with 11 of you. You're all locked in here with me.
That's auction.
Man, that's exactly right.
Do you think that auction more naturally lends itself to that sort of like when you're the big stack in poker, like where you just kind of want to push people around? 100%. I have a lot of small man issues and I want to get that out in fantasy.
100%. Not about your issues, but about yes.
If you're a short king, auction is for you.
Big ol' boss.
So I have a store doing the auction in my home league, longtime home league, which has now moved away from auction. But we're all spread across the country now. But I was drafting with one of my buddies and he and I were going for the same player. And I didn't even look at the screen. I was just staring at him with my finger on the dollar up button. And every time he bid, I was just staring and I would just dollar up because I had way more money than he did. And I was like, I'll wait you out, dude. You can do whatever you want. But it felt really good to big man him.
It's so fun to bully people. And like, yeah. This is the only setting where bullying is still allowed. Like,
that's right.
You won't get canceled in an auction. It's encouraged.
Sure.
That's right. Nobody's ever done anything wrong bidding on human beings. Okay.
Backslash is.
All right. Let's talk about how does an auction room actually work. So we got the basics of like why you would prefer an auction to a draft, to a snake draft, traditional draft. But how does the auction room work? And there's kind of like, I think, three big things. You're looking at your budgets, you're looking at your nominations, and then the pass button, which not every platform has, but it's actually a nice thing that Evan, you introduced me to, because I always drafted on Yahoo and they didn't have the pass button. So let's start with budgets. So, I think that's kind of a straightforward thing. I mean, I can take that. A budget is you get, usually it's like $200. Sometimes it's $100 depending on your platform. And, you know, it's a closed economy. It's $2,000 if you're in a 10-team league, $2,400 if you're in a 12-team league. That's how math works. And all the guys that get drafted are going to add up to a maximum of $2,400. So you have to figure out your guys along the way. Let's start with how do you approach your budgets? How do you approach budgeting? Just like very basic, not very in depth, but how do you approach the budget aspect of auction versus snake, Waleed?
So I keep it kind of simple. For my first two players, if I have $200 to start, I get very methodical. Put $1 to my bench, $1 to my kicker and defense. I subtract that money out, so I'll generally have $187 left for my max bid. My first two players, starting players, be they running back, wide receiver, I have $100 to $110 set aside. Then I kind of tear down like from there. Like I might have a $30, then a $20, then two tens, enough to make up that difference for, so I can get the maximum value for my starting line. I do it this way because I write a waiver wire article every week, so I don't really care about it. I'm going to churn my bench throughout. If I can get some value there later, have a little money left over, I will. But I use that money to get the best guys I possibly can that I like the most, and I just kind of work my way down.
Okay, so we'll get in. That sounds like a blended Stars and Scrubs strategy, which we'll get to into a later episode in the strategy of it. But yes. Evan, how do you put your budgets together? Like, do you just kind of play it by ear? Do you chunk off certain amounts for certain positions, or?
Like you said, we're definitely going to get into this in episode two. But it's what you said. I play it by ear. It's vibes. Are you all bidding too much? That doesn't make me want to bid too much. Makes me want to wait a little. Are y'all bidding a little too much? Maybe I'll bid a little too much if I like the guy. Are y'all not bidding enough? I'm going to move. I don't know what it's going to be. I'm just reading the vibe and doing the opposite.
I have a question for you. We, like you said earlier, you guys all mentioned auction's great because you can get your guys. So do you ever budget for maybe paying over AAV for one of your guys?
You have to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the thing. You see people in these auction drafts who have a max bid that they're going to go, and they will adhere to it very strictly. And the best players are never going to go for what their projected value is. They're always going to go for more because the top players are worth more. And you have to factor that in. Like your budget has to be fluid. You have to be willing to overpay somewhere and then wait for a value later. It can't just be static prices. If you have static pricing, you're locked in to what you think the room should do. And the room might not cooperate. You need to be like water, you know, like wet. You got to go with the flow.
Oh yeah. Wet.
that's after your draft is done.
Okay. So when you're looking at your roster.
And it's very common group psychology. That's very easy to understand. If you want a guy, you're in on him. All it takes in snake draft, if another person's in on them, it's whoever gets to pick first. But in auction, it's if you and literally one other person at least wants a guy, you're going to bid each other up because you both want the guy. So you got to go in on the guy you want and figure out how much you can go over AAV. I love how you use that term. to get him. What were you willing to do in terms of your current budget and your current outlook?
Okay, because I have notes written down so I can, because I'm trying to learn this process. And so the first thing I've written was $10 Jalen Naylor is okay.
That is, Tony has the Jalen Naylor no matter what.
I mean, it's okay, but it might not be necessary.
Sure.
We've used a term a couple times. I just want to say AAV. It's average auction value. It's basically the ADP of auctions. So we've used that term a couple times. This is 101. This is people learning. So that's analogous to the ADP. It's the average price that this goes for. And I want to say, if you are sticking to like AAV values, especially for your guys, you might as well be doing a snake draft, because you're letting, again, you're letting the room dictate what you are doing.
Yes.
Instead of going after your guys. So, if you're willing to pay up for a guy, if it's your guy, it's kind of like reaching a little bit, but it's not going to be frowned upon. You're not going to be like, oh no, I overpaid by a dollar. Yeah, exactly. You can make it up later. And that's by the end of the series, you're going to feel okay doing that. Because I'm going to tell you right now, there's going to be a once or twice during your auction draft, you're going to win a guy that you want. You're still going to be like, ooh, I don't know about that price.
Sure. And then right after the draft, you're going to forget about all the prices and look at your team. Yep. You're like, oh, I like that guy.
You're going to be like, oh, I'm so glad I have that guy. Yeah, 100%.
Exactly. So that's like a psychological aspect.
There is one other aspect of budgets that I think we have to like cover. And we do have these price values. But the thing is, it's important not for you to look at what Yahoo's price point is, but to have a price point of your own on what players are worth. If you're not going into an auction without like a basic like outline of that, and honestly, if you don't want to go to the trouble, Evan's got a cheat sheet that's going to be very on point for what the market actually dictates. Just go to him. And like having a guideline for a sheet, because like one thing is like you can't use a cheat sheet like we have on our website for auction in the same way that you can for like a snake draft, because that'll take consensus rankings. But with auctions, the pricing is so fluid that you need to have like a guideline for what the tiers should go for. Like that's really how I approach.
Also, I haven't done it this year, but the last few years I've taken ESPN and CBS and Yahoo's auction values and added them up, and they don't add up to 2000 or 2400. They don't know what they're doing. So, like, it just throw it out the window and get
which
what you want.
Which is terrifying if you think about it.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Yeah. Okay. So, I don't know what... Let me just say what I said in my notes here, because I'm not quite sure what I meant by this. Find the pressure points and maximize them. I was in a fugue state when I wrote this. So, I'm guessing what I meant by that is... since we're talking about basic strategy, my guess is what you were talking about, Evan, where if people are sitting back, be aggressive. If people are being aggressive, sitting back.
Also, and I'm sure Waleed is going to weigh in on this, so I'll set him up. Here's the thing. I'll give an anecdote.
Evan, can you give one more intro to the sentence, please?
Yes. So this is the thing that you need to know to dominate your auction drafts. If your league has a break and a few people don't have running back, nominate running back as soon as you can, because those people spent the whole break feeling the pressure, going, oh, I don't have a running back, I better put the running back in, and they'll go nuts for it. Figure out what people are worried about, and Yahoo has a great tool where you can see what people don't have in terms of position. Figure out stuff like that, ways to like psychologically get the edge and put people on a little bit of tilt.
I definitely have a follow for this. I had a favorite tilt that I love to do against Evan, which is I always like to wait till that timer goes down to one on the player he's nominated. Then I go up a dollar. And then, you know, he bids on him again. And then I wait and I let that clock go down. And then at one, I nominate again. And after the third time, Evan's generally in a frothing rage.
I am. That is true.
And that's where I want.
Not because I'm producing and trying to like look away and push a bunch of buttons. Damn.
And Evan is my friend, but we are at war, and I'm doing everything I can to put him off his game.
Sure. sure.
Yeah. Like, that is what you do. And I'm telling you what, it works. It pisses people off so much.
You are, you aren't here to make friends. You're here to win.
Goddamn yeah,
your
right.
friends will still be your friends afterwards. Look at Fatty in our league and I. He and I are great friends, but every draft we just go at each other because we know one of us goes on tilt, the other one benefits. So, yeah.
All right.
Fatty's
so,
guy in our Discord.
Tony, do you have any questions about the pressure points?
No, it makes sense to me. I have some deeper, like, nomination practice questions, but I think I'm going to save those for when we actually dig into nominating and bidding on players, which is a future episode.
That is a future episode. So I made, we'll wrap this up with kind of a overarching discussion question for the episode, which is, it's kind of a two-parter, which is, what is the thing that you wish you knew when you started fantasy auctions? And what do you wish somebody had told you when you had initially resisted doing a fantasy auction? Because this is kind of, the first hit's free. We're trying to get people into auctions. So what is the one thing you wish you had knowledge-wise, and what is the one thing you wish somebody had told you when you initially resisted it? So we'll start. Lead. Yeah, Tony, why don't you start?
Yeah, because the only auction drafts I've ever done is the FA Experts League, which I've done, 3 years in a row. And then whenever I can pop into mock drafts on tap. So I don't really know anything. And I'll tell you this, like, I wish I knew what you guys just told me now, that if you're looking at AAV on Yahoo or Sleeper or ESPN, you're still playing ADP and it's not any different than Snake. I never I don't know if I can go up a dollar. I don't want to pay too much for this guy. And I wish I just knew. It's like, no, just go get them. These numbers don't mean anything. As long as you go in at $200 exactly, you're fine.
Yeah, they're more like guidelines. You know, like you said, Jalen Naylor, $10. That's
$10.
Well, I'll be paying. I'll make you pay $11, buddy. So
he's gonna let that clock tick down to one, though.
Yeah,
and I wish I knew that patterns that in the draft, they don't last, they flip. So if everyone's, I get this a lot for advice in our Discord and online, where people are like, everyone's bidding so much, I need to bid so much. Well, hold on, people can't bid too much forever, because there's only so much money and that money's not going to change. No one's going to magically find an extra $50. So if you're worried because people are bidding too much, chill. Don't think you have to follow the trend. It's a lot like with the snake drafts. Don't be caught at the end of a run. It's a lot like that, you know?
Sure.
Zigging is great. It has to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was like first starting the auctions, I made a calculator that was taking, I mean, it was very rudimentary. It would take like AAV as a percentage of how much money was there. And then I would calculate like dynamic auction value changes based off the AAV. So like, but via money coming out of the pot players coming out of the pot.
That is not rudimentary, dude. You're like, I want to see this tool.
it wasn't that, like, but it helped a lot because it helped me find the pressure points, right? Where everybody goes all at once, oh crap, I am out of money. Because then, I start attacking players I want. And with the dynamic AAV like calculator tool, my value that I was pressing on was higher than the value that other people had when they were working off of the default AAV. Because I was like, I have all this money, I'm the bully, you know, I can pay this much for this player. And, you know, other people might be reticent to do that. And I would just track the values that way. And that was like when I was a baby auction person. It's still based off of AAV, but just like dynamically changing it. And that kind of goes into the, like, finding the point where the room flips, I think, is really important. Because off of the beginning, you have to decide what your strategy is going to be, right? Are you going to sit back? Are you going to go hard? If you're going to sit back, it becomes very important to learn when you're going to sit up, start getting players, right?
Yep.
And that's when the moment you attack is when everybody in the room's like, ah, shit, I don't have money. I don't have money. And it's usually, when everybody else in the room is averaging like $150 left. Like, they've all gotten $130, $150 left. They've all gotten their big player and they're like, oh crap, now I don't have money, so I'm going to panic a little bit. And you can scoop up like 3, 4, 5 guys that are like round 3, 4 picks, and that can be the basis to your roster. That's what I did for a long time. And it worked pretty well. So you have to figure out, Evan, talking about when the room flips, that's a great way of saying it.
Well, he said something in our inaugural Drafts on Tap, airing Sundays on youtube.com/footballabsurdity, where we draft and you can draft with us.
Evan, what time is that? What time is that on every Sunday?
2 p.m. CST.
Ah.
Thank you. Waleed said, when you have the proportion of your money, if you have less money than the total amount of the room, the less you have to the total, the more valuable your dollars are and the less you should spend them. And I realized, hey, if you have more money than the rest of the room percent-wise, those dollars are worth less and you should be spending them freely. Like, yeah. If you're a big bank, push people around. If you're a small bank, hold on.
I was very pleased about how I phrased that on the stream too, because like it was an example for these people who have like $50 left. No, everyone has $2, and that money's a waste. It could have gone somewhere else.
I was pushing that dude around, like, and I had like $15, and he had $50, and I'm like, why are you letting me push you around, dude? Like,
yeah, you could either be big stack or you can have players on your roster. You can't act like a guy whose roster is full and have all the money. Like, you can't do both.
That's
you know, you can't take it with you. You don't get extra fab money for not using all of your stuff. You also don't get extra fab money if you have like 4 $1 guys on your bench. Sometimes you run out of money. It happens.
You better run out of money.
That's you're like, okay, now I have 11 of my 14 of my 15 guys and I have $4 left. You're like, oh, well, all right. I guess I'm switching to snake mode and hope I get every guy that I nominate.
So I didn't answer this question and I just want to throw my thought real quick. I don't really have an answer. You guys already kind of covered what is the one thing you wish you knew starting fantasy football, but what do you wish somebody told you when you initially resisted?
Hold on.
You didn't ask that yet.
Waleed. Huh? You said, I want to answer this question. You said, I don't want to answer this question.
Yeah.
Well, damn it. I thought that we were on part 2 also. Okay. I wasn't really. You'll have to excuse me. My wife threw a cat.
Well, it doesn't help that I answered the question for you with your own words. I take fault in this. I admit
fault. Let's go to the second question, Waleed. I think you have something to say about what somebody had told you when you initially resisted.
I want to take umbrage to this because the first time someone asked me to do an auction draft, I was 100% on board with it. It actually sounded really fun. I didn't resist at all.
You're a degenerate. That's the problem.
No, but here's what I will say, because I have an anecdote for this, which is my work league. When our district manager took over, he was a big football guy and he knew I had the website. So he's like, I want you to be the commissioner of our work fantasy football. And I told him I would only do it if it was a super flex auction league. And I want to say, I want to give him credit. Like, here's the thing. Everyone resisted. And I was like, look, I get it. This is weird. Let's do it 1 year. If you don't like it, we'll go back to Snake. And that first draft, everyone was talking so much shit to each other and having a blast. And then I remember last year, this is like year 4 of this league, one of the guys was kind of complaining. He was like, why can't we just do a Snake draft? Before I could even comment, 3 people were like, nah, this is an auction.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was the opposite. When I first was proposed Snake Draft, and it was actually, I mentioned him earlier, Fatty, he was the guy who turned me on to auction. When he proposed it for our league, I was 100% against it because I had just won our league. And I'm like, I just figured it all out. Like, why would we want to switch? I like winning. But then after the auction draft, I was like, okay, that auction draft got me more dopamine in my brain than a whole season worth of winning in 2 hours. Like 3 months worth of dopamine was beat by 2 hours of an auction draft. I don't even care if I win or not. I'm playing with house money right now.
Winning an auction hits different.
I feel like that's the ultimate question that I'm here to ask you guys. How do I get my leagues to switch over to auction? Like, how can I sell this to normies?
Oh, okay. So somebody who's reluctant, say, hey, why didn't you think your team was great last year? they'll always say, oh man, I didn't get Christian McCaffrey or Puka Nacua, and say, if you do auction, you will get those guys. You will.
If you want them.
Nobody ever gets sniped in an auction.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you will. That's the number one tip I've had to converting people that successfully in like real life. Yeah.
Okay.
It's also, what was wrong with your team last year? Well, that won't be wrong if you know it beforehand.
There's also no downtime in a draft. Like, think about how dreadful it is to draft on the turn in a snake. Ugh. You like draft and then you sit there for 20 minutes doing nothing, and then you have two picks. Whereas with auction, you know, you're involved in every player, whether you want the player or not. Cause like, say for example, guy comes up, you're like, do I want him? You're like gauging the bids. You're like, okay, this is too rich for my blood. And then you tune out for like 30, 45 seconds, a minute, whatever. And then the next guy, you're back in. If you're a frequent peer, it's a problem.
Sure.
I would argue you pick your downtime at an auction.
I'll just shout my bids from the bathroom. I don't give a sh. Like,
well, you are giving
it. I mean, you do. You
potentially,
do.
Yeah.
You are
giving it.
Not literally giving a sh. Yeah. But yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So that's a good thing is you'll never get sniped. Another one is you'll always be, there's no downtime. There's no boredom. So if you find yourself getting bored in snake drafts, there's no boredom in an auction. Worst case scenario, you're not paying attention for like a minute, minute and a half. And even then, if the bids start going crazy, you get kind of invested in it. Cause it's like a little battle.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
People. So. Talking through a cloudy room, short screaming numbers at each other angrily and hilariously. It's something different. Something you don't see.
My anecdote, like, I just offered a 1-year trial. Like, why don't we like just give it a try? Because this is really fun and I think you'll like it. If you don't, we go back. Like, give them an option. Like, give them an out.
Sure.
Like, I think that makes it more like, because I think there's a little bit of a fear that like, if we switch and we never go back, like you're making a commitment. If you just approach it like, you know, well, we can revisit this. If you don't like it afterwards, yeah, we don't do it again. We gave it a try. It didn't work out. That's fine.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah, my home league went from auction to a dynasty redraft or a dynasty snake draft. And there were a lot of people like, well, what do you mean this isn't an auction anymore? Like they were like, I was like, well, it's really hard to do a dynasty auction, blah, 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 with trading future picks. And finally they got on board, but it was like, you do it enough. It's the only way you want to draft.
100%.
I was just at the expo and I was doing draft night out. And let me tell you, between picks, even with somebody I was shooting the shit with, I was completely disconnected from the draft. I was paying no attention to the draft. And the draft is the best time of year. And this kind of like, I feel like auctions squeeze the most out of it.
Yeah.
Cause you're not just clicking a button. You're making actively making decisions the whole time. And I would say it's more social, and it's also people complain, oh, it takes forever. It takes a few hours unless you're like Evan's draft is somehow like an entire weekend. But that's where the pass button comes in, which was something we kind of glossed over. Some rooms have a pass button, which will make drafts go faster. Because what it'll be is like, if say, for example, Tony nominates, I'm trying to figure out a guy I'm out on. Tony nominates Christian Watson, right? I'm like, screw that. And I hit pass. And so if everybody passes, whoever bids, it'll like go to them. So it'll speed things up. So that's an option too, is I do get, there is pushback about, well, it's going to take forever to draft this. It's kind of like in Monopoly when you do the auctions, when you land on the property that nobody wants, nobody plays by those rules because it takes forever. Right. It allows you to shorten that. And it's honestly, it takes longer, but it's more fun. It's like, oh no, I had more time with my friends. Damn it.
Yeah. That's my thing. Like, I'm not trying to play fantasy football with people I don't want to spend time with. If more than 45 minutes is like too much of your time to spend with people, you need a better league.
Yeah. Yeah. I had
or better friends.
Yeah. My home league in our fantasy baseball draft for a while was complaining that the draft was taking too long. And then eventually, as we stopped seeing each other as much and, you know, everybody went to their opposite corners of the country, and everybody had kids and stuff, it kind of the complaint stopped, because for a lot of us, this is like the the way we keep in touch is through the fantasy baseball, fantasy football league we do together. So, okay. Any other question, any other things to add about like, what do you wish you had known when you started? What do you wish somebody had told you when you resisted?
How fun it was, just period.
Yeah.
Thank you, voice of God. Fun. That was so loud.
I wish more people did this, because this seems like just more fun.
And it is. It is. That's what it comes down to. And I think that's what we want to give people a basis in this series, to allow people to have fun.
Because that's what fantasy football is supposed to be, fun.
No, it's not. It's supposed to be about making spreadsheets and maximizing margins.
I don't see a difference. I'm not hearing a difference.
Yeah, that right.
Parlays.
Yeah, fun.
Yeah. Fun. Yeah, that is fun. Fantasy football was the thing that made a guy at my work go, "Hey, a guy on the spectrum. Hey, have you been tested?" So, because he was like, what are you working on? I showed him my projection spreadsheet, and he was like, "Hey, question for you. Has anybody ever brought this up to you?" And I was like, "No, but I would believe it." So I think that'll wrap up episode one of what are we calling this? 50 do's and 1,000 don'ts of playing auction fantasy football. So we're gonna start. We're gonna be back with episode two, which is gonna be auction values, price setting, and building on a closed economy, as well as some pre-draft prep work. So that'll kind of be a little bit more formalized, a little bit more formatted. This was kind of like a free-flowing discussion. So for Tony, Evan, Waleed, this is Jeff. Thanks for listening. Take care and have a good one.
Later.